Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Alice G., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, June 28, 2022, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 12, the first paragraph, despite the living example of my friend, ending with, I have since talked with scores of men who felt the same way, and we're reading that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Eileen M. and Kara L., and we have Justin B. on the 12 Steps, Joanne L. on the 12 Traditions, Jody E. is our newcomer greeter. The reference number for Monday, June 27th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,109. That's 19,109. And the reference number for this morning, Tuesday, June 28th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,112. That's 19,112. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Justin B. to read the 12 steps for us, please.
Good morning. This is Justin B. from Washington, a recovered compulsive overeater. And these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service this month. Passed.
Thank you so much, Justin B. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 traditions, please.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Alice, for your service today, and thank you, everybody on the line. I'm Joanne L. from Rhode Island and recovered in Rhode Island. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lease problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. In 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. I just have a correction. The reference number for yesterday, Monday, June 27th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,112. That's the same one I had for today, this morning at 7 a.m. Okay. 19112. I'm sure we'll get more information on that. I apologize for the confusion. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, and I will be timing. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinent requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what we have read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 12, the first paragraph. Despite the living example of my friend, reading that one paragraph only, ending with "who felt the same way." And I will now ask Eileen M. to get us started, please.
Good morning, Eileen M., recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. Despite the living example of my friend, there remained in me the vestiges of my old prejudice. The word God still aroused a certain antipathy. When the thought was expressed that there might be a God personal to me, this feeling was intensified. I didn't like the idea. I could go for such conceptions as creative intelligence, universal mind, or spirit of nature, but I resisted the thought of a czar of the heavens, however loving his sway might be. I have since talked with scores of men who felt the same way. Oh, yes, I can relate to this. you know, I'm focusing on the word, or the words that are jumping out at me today are living example. So here's his friend Ebby coming to see him after he's had a spiritual awakening. And, you know, I'm thinking that the spiritual awakening is not a theory. It is a real thing. And, you know, some of the greatest evidence I have seen of a higher power, you know, a higher power's help is, you know, the living example I see at meetings. I have been coming to OA, to the rooms, for 33 years, and I've seen people come into these meetings, and they're just a wreck, literally, and the way I was, you know, and I've seen them transform before my eyes. It's incredible. And, you know, I thought that I could never have that, and, you know, I just became entirely ready, and, you know, got someone in whom the problem had been solved and asked her to help me. And, you know, I followed the precise instructions in this book. And, you know, I could not have brought about those changes in myself by myself because, you know, I tried for years. And I really didn't know that I had more than just a problem with food. I had a problem with life. And, you know, like I've shared before, what was really life-changing for me was when my sponsor said to me, have you ever considered that there might be a power greater than you that wants you to be happy and, you know, can actually help you? And, you know, I can relate to where Bill says, you know, I don't think Bill really believed that he believed in God, but he didn't think God was personal to him or God could actually help him. And that's what I thought, too. And I think a lot of us have thought that, as, you know, he references that. And I just love this because there's so much hope here. You know, and like I said, I've just seen so many people get better, you know, when they've, you know, been willing to believe that something greater than them could help them. So thanks so much for letting me share my path.
Thank you so much, Eileen, for getting us started. We will now proceed with alternate members sharing. And I'll just make a reminder that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shares to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share today? Please press star 1 to unmute.
Tara L.
Tara L.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O, got you.
Debbie P.
Debbie. All right, we'll start with that lineup. I've got Tara L, Kathleen O, and Debbie P. Tara L, please star 1 to unmute and share with us where you are from. Thank you.
Thank you, Alice. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. You know, I've always, this paragraph, every time I read it, I'm like, I don't always understand it. And then we're going to get down into this tomorrow, this great concept that Abby's going to throw at us. But, you know, I was thinking, like, if I were Bill, what would I be thinking at this moment? Where am I in my life at this moment? And I thought, you know, I can see Abby sitting in front of me. I can see that he looks great. And obviously he did something. And he's throwing this concept at me, right? Like, there's a power greater than you. And, you know, here we have Bill saying, you know, despite that, I can see that, you know, I'm in a bad place. You know, I was a bad place when I came into this program. You know, my life was terrible, right? And I was thinking, if there was something, you know, if the power greater than me, then why is my life so terrible? And in the vestiges of my old pride, the word God still aroused a certain antipathy, right? That where am I at this point? And when the thought was expressed, there might be a God personal to me, I thought, well, you know, for me in this moment that I was in this place, a God personal to me, well, the thought intensified. And I said, well, why would a thought intensify? And it's because, you know, I'm not in a good place. So I would, obviously, I know me, self. I would blame that on something else or somebody else. And I said, well, if there's a God personal to me, why am I in such a bad place? Why do I feel so bad? Why is my life going to ruin? Right? And, you know, and I just thought about that in a moment. I said, you know, how did I move from that thought that, yeah, I believe that there might be, you know, a power greater than me, but had no interest in me or my life would be, to every day, every moment, I invite this power into my life. Every day, every moment, I see how a power greater than me is helping guide my life to make it better. And I don't know how that switch came, but I know that I identify with Bill today, sitting across from somebody who's had a spiritual awakening. And just as I sat in many meetings and saw the spiritual awakenings, and all I know is I wanted that. I wanted that enough that I kept coming back, and I never left the rooms until it happened for me. And And that's all I can say in this paragraph is just don't leave, because it will happen for everybody. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Tara L. from California. We now have Kathleen O., followed by Debbie P. And just if you jumped on a little bit late, we're on page 12, first paragraph. Kathleen, please share with us.
Good morning. Thank you. Thanks for moderating this morning, and good morning, everyone. It's good to be here with all of you. So, you know, I too had a deep-seated dislike for the word God, and that was because of a bad experience I had with religion as a child. So, you know, not to diss religions, because they work for a lot of people, but it just didn't work for me. And, you know, my outgrown thinking was getting me nowhere. So the line, when the thought was expressed that there might be a God personal to me, his feeling was intensified. So there might be a God personal to me. I found the answer to my problem was exactly a God personal to me. And I had to let go of trying to control and manage my life. I had to let go of thinking that nothing but my life mattered. And, you know, gosh, if I let go of that, wouldn't my life be insignificant? I mean, that's a novel thought. So, you know, maybe there wouldn't be anything left for me to do if I wasn't having to worry about other people and tell them what to do and say and think. So reducing my importance and smashing my ego is exactly the point of spirituality. I had to surrender to a power greater than me, which, although I think reading this, Bill needs a little more convincing as we read on. I mean, why wouldn't I have what Bill saw in Abby? And what I see in many people, you know, that I hear speaking on this line and who I've met in person, why wouldn't I want that? So, you know, we don't have to understand, and knowledge isn't the answer to spirituality. Willingness is the answer. And, you know, so when I took the steps, I was rid of the obsession to addictively overeat. And I found I was able to do this happily for the first time in my life and no longer fight the food. To have freedom from the torment of taking that first bite and having a personality change was certainly beyond anything I ever dreamed of. You know, I had a spiritual malady and I needed a spiritual solution. So if food is your current God, I mean, anything is better than that God. You know, we may have to let go of our religious beliefs if they're not working, let go of self and let God. And I had to admit complete defeat so God could come in and do for me what I couldn't do for myself. So you know what? I mean, the bottom line is I create my own problems, but when I let go and I let God, I stop creating these problems because God has the power, and may you find that power. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen. Oh, can you mention where you're from? I didn't catch that. Kathleen,
sorry,
can you unmute?
Did you?
Okay.
I did.
Can you mention where you're from?
Oh, I'm from California. Sorry.
All right.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I didn't catch that. Thank you, Kathleen O. from California. All right. WP, you're up next, and then I'll take another list of names. Star one to unmute and share with us where you're from. Thank you.
Sure. Good morning. This is Debbie P., and I'm from Indiana. Thank you for your service and everyone here today. This paragraph is so me, as I've already heard. Many of us come in, and I did too, feeling, I don't know, I always got prickly when people would say the word God. Fortunately, I have, this gives us the benefit here. It gives us the ability, the idea to come up with our own conception of a higher power or God. My process, I have come to use the acronym of God as good orderly direction. It's easy for me to relate to people by saying God. So that's what I use, whether it's a creative intelligence, universal mind, or spirit of the nature. I usually will say higher power or God. It no longer offends me to say it that way now that I have the acronym of good orderly direction. Other things, religious-wise, might give me the pricklies, but fortunately, this program gives me an open mind as well. I heard willingness before, and I also need to be willing. I've been around 12-step programs for a long, long time, and I had a long old timer tell me one time, Debbie, you just don't want to rely on a higher power. You want to take control of it all. And that was true. I just did not want to let go of the illusion of control of being in charge. So finally, I just was miserable enough to want to relieve myself of that, to just do whatever I was told, to do what this book says, to do what every one of you say, and what I watch everybody do and that are successful at it. I had not been successful until I finally said, oh, okay, maybe I'm not really in charge. I was not abstinent for any length of time until now. So anyway, that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you so much, WP from Indiana. I'll now take another list of names of those who would like to share. Please press star 1 to unmute and share with us. Who would like to share? Sorry. Anybody else?
Hi, this is KK.
I'm sorry, say that again.
My name is K. The last initial is K. Or the first initial of my last name is K.
Okay. All right, got you.
Terry W.
Terry W.
Justin B.
Justin.
Sherry Josie.
Anybody else?
Tamara C.
Tamara.
Renee P.
You guys are being so kind to me today. Thank you. All right. We'll stop with that list there. That's beautiful. All right. I've got KK, Terry W., Justin B., Sherry Jo C., Tamara C., and Renee P. And everybody but KK, please star 1 to mute your phone. And KK, will you share with us? And please let us know where you're from as well.
Thank you. I'm from Massachusetts. I grew up with the fear of God, and my relationship with him consisted of trying to be good. I had the Ten Commandments as a guide, which of course I couldn't do perfectly, and felt that he wouldn't love me unless I was perfect. And I lived that way until my late 20s, early 30s. And over the last 45 years or so, between the Ten Commandments and the 12 steps, I've been able to develop a personal relationship with him. And on page 417 in the big book, absolutely nothing happens in God's world by mistake. And sometimes I question his plan, but I believe that everything happens for a reason. And I think I'll pass at that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, KK from Massachusetts. Terry W., followed by Justin B.
Hi, this is Terry W., a recovered anorexic bulimic from Massachusetts. And I'm told this paragraph is extremely important in the history of OA. I just wanted to share that. And Hank Parsons wrote most of this chapter, which I found interesting. But why it's paramount to his history is because Bill stopped fighting a spiritual solution here. This is important, and the notion of the world is about to change for people like me, quote unquote. It's that I saw, he saw recovery, and this is the first time he saw Abby Thatcher. He wasn't drinking, and he was happy. And, you know, for the first time he felt, since he was home from war, he felt hope. So this paragraph really, you know, talks about how there's hope. And now he believes that God could and would if he were sought. So that has changed a lot of history for a lot of us, because a lot of people don't, you know, have very different conceptions of their higher power. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I've sponsored people whose higher power was a fairy or was electricity, and it's everyone, they all have their own conception, and there's no right or wrong way to do it. I think the notion is, and the belief, you know, I believe, is that we just have to believe something out there greater than us can restore us to sanity. So I just wanted to share that, and thank you very much for your service. I'm complete.
Thank you, Terry W. from Massachusetts. Justin B., please star one to unmute and share with us. And Sherry Jo C., you're up next after Justin.
Good morning. This is Justin B., recovered compulsive overeater in Washington. I lived all of my life up until my late 30s believing and teaching and preaching and sharing and witnessing of a God that loved all, and even said that this God loved me no matter what and was all powerful and all able to deliver from any situation. But inwardly, I did not believe it was possible for me. I believed it was possible for everyone else, but not me. I was the exception to the rule because I'm the the black sheep. I'm the outcast. I'm the one who is not worthy for any sort of love from any sort of higher power. As I came into the rooms of recovery and spoke with lots of others who felt the same way and who shared with me the concept of firing that small G God, getting his butt out of there and hiring a capital G God, one who would and could and was willing to even save someone like me, as low life as me. That concept just grabbed hold of my mind, and what a beautiful thing it was and is in my life to now have that concept, that knowledge, or, you know, that belief that for me, I'm no longer, and not because of anything I've ever done or haven't done, I'm no longer beyond the grasp of a power greater than myself, an all-loving power, knowledge, spirit, whatever you want to call it. And it's not because of anything I've done or haven't done, but because of who I am and what I am. And that concept, although it was really scary of firing the God of my understanding and hiring a new one, has made all the difference in my own walk in life, in recovery. And man, it's a beautiful thing. Anyways, I'm still Justin, and I'm still a compulsive overeater, but I'm recovered, gratefully, one day at a time by the power of that capital G God. Thanks. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Justin B. Sherry Jo C., star one to unmute and share with us, followed by Tamara.
Good morning. This is Sherry Jo C., recovered compulsive eater in Southern California. Thanks so much for the meeting this morning and every morning. Really appreciate the shares. And I always say it, this paragraph is one of my favorite paragraphs. They're all one of my favorite paragraphs. And I have to be honest, when we read this one together this morning, as I was reading it, I just felt kind of mad at Bill. You know, I kind of felt mad at myself, the person that I used to be, you know, so incredibly stubborn that I could be nearly on my deathbed and still, you know, as Bill says here, there's a certain antipathy, which to me is like, you know, an anger, a dislike, a strong, you know, prejudice against. And, you know, what I realize is when I think about how I used to be, I connect the dots between this passage and, you know, our 12 and 12, and it talks about, it talks about being rebellious, and it talks about defiance. And it says defiance. I've always remembered that. Defiance is the primary characteristic, the outstanding characteristic of the alcoholic compulsive eater. And I know that I used to be super defiant, and I really dislike that about myself and how I used to be. I know it's part of the disease, and I know that it's not, when we're in the throes of and the grip of the disease, it's not a conscious choice, you know, that basically, you know, the food's got hold of me. And I used to be such an angry person when I was eating compulsively. When I first got abstinent, obviously I was having trouble staying abstinent on a daily basis. My sponsor said, after you write down your food, turn the page over and just put your feelings down. And it's like this, all this anger just poured out of me. And it was like, oh my God, it was like Roseanne, Rosanna, Dana. Like, did that come out of me? You know, it was like, It was all in there, that anger. And, you know, and I also feel deep compassion for Bill, you know, when I read this, and deep compassion for myself and the way that I was when I was in the grips of the disease. But that, I just thought that I was an angry person. I thought that I was a rebellious person. I thought that I was a defiant person. But those, you know, I learned those are just untreated characteristics of my compulsive eating, you know. And as I got treatment, you know, through this program, through my higher power, through all of you, the characteristics of my disease started, as Bill's explaining here, you know, he calls them vestiges. A vestiges is something that used to be or that still is, but it's getting smaller, you know, and he says his old prejudice, you know, those parts of me that I thought were part of my personality and that I really hated about myself. I think self-loathing is the core emotion that drives us as compulsive eaters. And you know, I thought those were parts of me. I thought that was who I was. And, you know, what this program has done for me is, as I put down the food first and foremost, no matter what, made a commitment to being abstinent and not getting into those foods that used to make me that angry. Thank you. Make me that angry person. You know, I saw that those characteristics of the disease, you know, started dissipating, and my true personality, you know, my warmth, my compassion, my love for myself, my love for other people, that got stronger. So, yeah, thanks so much for the reading and for the meeting, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Sherry Jo C. from California. Tamara C., you're up next, followed by Renee P.
Hi, this is Tamara C., a recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. I'm grateful to be here. And my old prejudices, when I look at my old prejudices, I see part of it is my concept of a higher power was that God didn't really understand me, but was expecting me to change so that I could be worthy of love, acceptance, and care. God expected me to figure life out and to manage well. And I never measured up. And so God was constantly disappointed in me and disapproved of me. These were my old ideas. And that thought of a God personal to me was something that I craved. And ever since I was a teenager, I had searched and searched for this relationship with a God personal to me. I wanted to be like a friend of God, and I think that my higher power honored this search, and here and there would be a spiritual experience, and I would feel connected and feel cared for, and perhaps there was a bit of awakening along the way as I was searching, but I just couldn't stay in it. It was elusive to me. I kept returning to my old prejudices that I have to do better, I have to do better, and God is disappointed in me. And it was coming to this program and working the steps and taking the spiritual action in this program that opened my eyes and my mind and my heart, and just to a new concept of higher power who is a healer and a friend. And my old prejudices are very long held, and they still come up. But living in the steps every day and connecting with fellows and doing service, all of this spiritual action returns me to the truth of what is awakening in me, what God is teaching me about who God is and who I am and what God thinks and feels about me and wants to do for me. I'll pass.
Thank you, Tamara C. from Missouri. And I would just remind everybody, if you're not muted, press star 1 to unmute. To mute yourself when others are speaking. Renee P., you're up next.
Hello, my name's Renee, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Kentucky. One of the prejudices that I had before I went through the steps of OA was thinking that I knew what was right for everybody else to do. And that has been the most liberating thing in my life. And I credit my higher power with that, taking that burden off of my shoulders. And it's been a beautiful thing that I revel in every day, and I'm grateful for every day. And any time that, you know, in the light of things that are going on in the world that I'm avoiding at this point, I feel like I'm 52 years old. I've given enough to the fights of the world, and I'm now just wrapping myself in the power of my higher power, and just grateful. I passed.
Thank you, Renee P. from Kentucky. We have time for a few more shares. Who would like to share today on page 12, the first paragraph? Star 1 to unmute, please, if you haven't shared in the last 3 days. Reggie
Laura
O.
W.
Laura W. Anybody else? Star 1 to unmute. Okay, we'll go with those two. Reggie O, followed by Laura W. Reggie O, star 1 to unmute and share with us where you're from.
Hi, good morning. And thank you, Alice, for doing your service this morning and everybody on the line this morning. My name is Reggie O. I'm gratefully recovered and living in Texas. And, you know, as most of this section has done in Bill's story for the first time, it's really grabbed me, by everything, the mind, the heart, you know. And so I go there, you know, when the thought was expressed that there might be a God personal to me, this feeling was intensified. And I think about, you know, I could get the God of the universe, you know, and I was always amazed when I learned things, you know, like that the moon ruled the tides of the ocean, and just to pay attention to the seasons and how they work perfectly every year, and, you know, trees shed acorns so that they can recreate, you know, there's this wonderful intelligence and spirit of the universe. And all of the things in the big book that I could relate to intellectually, that's where I went because it was safe for me. It was safe for me, you know, intellectual passion. I thrived on it at points, but it never touched my heart. And I'm remembering on the page before, one of the pages before, here was something at work in the human heart, which had done the impossible. And before that, you know, he noted there was something about Ebby's eyes, which, you know, the eyes are considered the, you know, the windows of the soul, I've heard them called. So those are very, you know, pretty significant things. And you know, for me, I did not know for the longest time that my heart was pretty much completely blocked off. And a lot of time in program, I didn't know that until one day in 2018, my heart got pierced. And I mean, literally, it felt like I had, you know, like a sword going through my heart. And I remember screaming out. And what it did was it opened up information to me that I'd been searching for a lot of my life. And, you know, and it's been quite a journey since then, because when something at work in my heart and a God that is personal to me, denotes intimacy and speaking from the heart, you know, and being fully present and being in the now. And, you know, and the intellect is great. I'm not knocking it, you know, and it's good when they work together. But the intimacy of the heart, which I think I have always yearned for, is something that, you know, can yet cause me to shy away. I mean, it feels very, very tender and very personal in some respects. But then, you know, it's everything. And that's, you know, that's where you can see something in someone's eyes, or when you can hear something at work in a human heart, when we become recovered and come from, you know, that place. That place in our heart, it really works. So thank you.
Thank you, Reggie O from Texas. Laura W., you're up next. Share with us where you're from as well, please.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. Yeah, you know, I love the shares this morning. I loved hearing everybody's concept of their higher power. And, you know, when I grew up with a God, I grew up with a religion, I grew up with organized religion, and I hated it every single Sunday. I hated it. And I was a kid that felt forced to go to church. I thought, you know, I felt like it was a reflection of my parents. If I didn't go, it was a reflection of my parents, what I wore. And it was, I just was angry about it all the time. So when I came into the rooms of OA and I was told that you have to rely on God, I was like, ugh, this God hasn't done anything for me. Like, this God, you know, is just an angry God in the sky. But then I realized as I started talking to other people and I started listening and I started to turn away from that contempt prior to investigation, that maybe my way wasn't working. And, you know, if what's working for you doesn't change, then, you know, you're going to just keep getting what you've always got. And that was my experience. So, you know, he says, I've talked with scores of men who feel the same way. You know, there was a certain antipathy, yes, but there was also, for me, there was also a, well, what else do I have? Like, what else am I going to try? And so that word personal was helpful to me, because it doesn't have to be the God of my childhood. It doesn't have to be the angry punishing God. It could be something, all it has to be is something greater than me. You know, and we're told in We Agnostics that, you know, when we saw that other people have solved their problems by just a simple reliance upon a spirit of the universe, we have to stop doubting the power of God. Our ideas did not work, but the God idea did. And that's what I do, one day at a time, every day. I've since come back to similar to the God of my childhood, but so much more loving, so much more patient, so much more generous and kind. And it's a personal God to me. It's not the God that I was told that I had to believe in and a God in a book. It's a God that has done for me what I could not ever have done for myself. And the proof is that I'm living in recovery with neutrality around food, weight, and exercise one day at a time. And there's no other explanation than that other than a higher power. So that's my proof that there is a God in my life working one day at a time. And it just can't be me. So thanks for letting me share, I guess.
Thank you, Laura W. from South Jersey. We can take about two more shares if anyone is so inclined today. Star one to unmute, please. Give me your name.
Liz V.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Liz V.
Liz V.
Joy B.
Joy B. All right, we'll go with that. Liz V, star one to unmute and share with us. And everyone else, please press star one to mute your phone.
Hi, thanks. This is Liz V of Zebra from Connecticut. Grateful to be here and to hear this paragraph. I've been in program a couple of years now, and this concept of a personal higher power is kind of the thing that, like, I keep coming back to, like, whenever I've struggled in program, that seems to be at the root of it, that I really don't have, like, a personal, real relationship with God. I grew up with a religious God, but there was no, it was really just religious authority. That was my God. And just always trying to stay on that good side. And there was never any sense of, like, there was no ability to be authentic. And I think that's what kind of gets in my way with God is, you know, it has to be personal to me as who I authentically am, who I really am, not me as I think I should be or what ego tells me. And I've also just been hearing on the shares, like, this necessity to relate from the heart, and that, you know, I've been in program a couple of years, and I've heard all these ideas, and, like, intellectually I can grasp all of these things, and I do have moments of spiritual awakening, but, you know, it's my heart that is, it's my spirit that's dying, and that needs to be fed with this relationship and with love and with a God. and that, you know, with the food, it's not just like, I guess I've been thinking about it in a way like, well, I just need a higher power to like help me not compulsively eat, or like I just need to like ask for help like following a food plan. And it's really that once I have a relationship with God, like that those issues kind of take care of themselves and my life becomes more meaningful and more full, and that, and the food stops being the focus, my body image stops being the focus. So I'm grateful to be here, and I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz V from Connecticut. Joy B, you're up next. Star one to unmute and share with us, please. Joy B, star one to unmute.
This is about my gratitude for all of the meetings and all of you who run them and who attend them. I must tell you, by age 3, I was reading the 23rd Psalms. I don't know anybody who's been in church more than I have in my life, who studied the Bible more. And then as an adult, about 35, I started going to OE meetings. I tell you, the blue book was the thing on the table that you walked past and you purchased over and over again and you lost. You might have done the 10 steps once, but in my 30, 40 years of attending the meetings, I have never gotten such a grasp of the relationship between my lack of a proper perspective of God and my overeating. And I'm really grateful for that. I must tell you, I've only been here about, say, 3 months now. Found you all by accident, but what a revelation. I'm really, really grateful. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you, Joy B. We do have time for a quick 2-minute share if anybody would like to take that. Star one to unmute, please.
Barbara A.
Barbara A, go ahead.
Lynn H.
I just have time for about a 2-minute share. Barbara, go ahead.
Thank you. This is Barbara A, compulsive overeater, longtime listener, don't share much, want to be out there, want to take my seat, want to know that I'm so grateful to have the opportunity every day to work these steps. My abstinence may not be intact, but I'm not giving up. I'm coming back. My relationship with God, I want to just reiterate what I heard from the last speaker, that I've never had such a deep relationship with a higher power as I have since I've joined this program. Grateful. Thank you for being there. Thank you for your service. Thank you for always having this meeting. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Barbara A. We will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I would like to thank everyone on Team Tuesday who made this meeting possible this month of July. Kara L., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, this is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until